Good evening, everyone. Please have your songbooks in hand this evening for all of our selections. The first song that we will sing this evening is song number 71. That title is Blessed Assurance. Song number 71, Blessed Assurance. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending bring from above echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I am my Savior, am happy and blessed. Watching and waiting, looking above, filled with his goodness, lost in his love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. The song that we'll sing before our Lenten opening prayer this evening, 871. That song title, In His Time. 871, In His Time. After this song, we'll be led in our opening prayer.
In His time, in His time, He makes all things beautiful. In His time, Lord, please show me every day, as you're teaching me your way, that you do just what you say. In your time, in your time, in your time, you make all things beautiful. In your time, Lord, my life to you I bring. May each song I have to sing be to you a lovely thing. In your time.
Heavenly Father, it's an honor once again to be able to come back tonight to service, worship you. Pray for those, Father, who are not this fortunate, they might sometimes get better. Pray for Brooklyn, Father, who still has that thing on her brain. We pray that it can get well. Pray that her friend has got your ulcer, that she can get better and be healed. Also pray, Father, for Jamie, who's having a lot of trouble. Pray you bless and help him to get over this and make him won't get it. Pretend to miss Dawn and she's getting a little better. Pray you pretend to get well. Pray you about that and make you know me better. Be with everybody, Father, needs our prayers. Help us all to be strong and be recognized and bring the message and protect the great country we live in. Always be able to worship you and carry out your word. God, fear and blessed name. all power, forgive our sins, give us a good week of wind, and things back to 6 o'clock. In Christ's name.
Amen. Our next song selection this evening is 977. That song titled, "The Battle Belongs to the Lord." Song 977, "The Battle Belongs to the Lord." In heavenly armor we'll enter the land. The battle belongs to the Lord. No weapon that's fashioned against us will stand. The battle belongs to the Lord. We sing glory, honor, power, and strength to the Lord. We sing glory, strength to the Lord. When the power of darkness comes in like a flood, the battle belongs to the Lord. He's raised up a standard, the power of his blood. The battle belongs to the Lord. And we sing glory, honor, power, and strength to the Lord. We sing glory, honor, power, and strength to the Lord. When your enemy presses in hard, do not fear. The battle belongs to the Lord. Take courage, my friend, your redemption is near. The battle belongs to the Lord. And we sing glory, honor, power, and strength to the Lord. We sing glory, honor, power, and strength to the Lord. If you would at this time mark our song of encouragement. That song may be marked already. 103, same one that we sang this morning, I think. I already had my list made, so we'll stay with that. 103, "Come to Jesus." That's going to be an encouragement hymn for this evening. Once you have that song marked, please turn with me next to song number 396. The song title is "Lift Him Up." Song 396, "Lift Him Up." We'll sing this song and then we'll share together tonight's lesson. How to reach the masses, men of every birth. For an answer, Jesus gave a key. And if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. Lift him up, lift him up. Still he speaks from eternity. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. Oh, the world is hungry for the living bread. Lift the Savior up for them to see. Trust him and do not doubt the words that he said. I'll draw all men unto me. Lift him up, lift him up. Still he speaks from eternity. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. Don't exalt the preacher, don't exalt the pew. Preach the gospel, simple, full, and free. Prove him, and you will find the promise is true. I'll draw all men unto me. Lift him up, still he speaks from eternity. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. Lift him up by living as a Christian ought. Let the world in you the Savior see. Then men will gladly follow him who once taught, I'll draw all men unto me. Lift him up, still he speaks from eternity. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me.
Good evening. You know, I think, you know, we were talking about why Jesus came tonight, but doesn't that song speak to why Jesus came?
Yes.
You know, and so it's a perfect song, James. Thank you. Why Jesus came, to draw all men unto him, that's for sure. You know, sometimes if someone asks you this question and they'd ask you for a scripture, I think we might say to seek and to save the lost, right? That's why Jesus came. But there's a lot of passages in the New Testament that talk about why Jesus came. And besides that, not meaning to belittle that or make it any smaller, because I think it's the main core reason. And yet, I think it's interesting to see what else. From Mark chapter 1, and verses 14 through 39, and we're not going to look at all these verses, but the verses that we're going to look at, first of all, here tonight, come from Mark chapter 1. We'll start here with verses 14 and 15. Now, after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, I'm going to bring this over here, and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. Now, there's several things here right off, and as we look at the scriptures that we're going to see tonight, there's going to be an overlap. And I think that anytime we have an overlap, we can know that God is giving us direction and proving what he's saying is true. When God repeats himself, then we know over and over again how important that is. For example, preaching the gospel. Jesus came preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. That's why he came, to preach about the kingdom of God. And it's important for us to understand this. Is that why Jesus preached? That's why he came. That's what he was teaching. What should we teach? The kingdom of God, right? Pretty simple. And saying the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Well, think about it. Of all those prophecies in the Old Testament about Jesus. And now Jesus is saying, I am here. I'm fulfilling these messages of God. I came to fulfill God's purpose and his messages. And the kingdom of God is at hand. We see this over and over again. Now, when Jesus gave the Lord's Prayer, what did he pray? That the kingdom of God would come. And when did it take place? At his death, burial, and resurrection, and then Acts chapter 2, when the message was first given to the people. And so we see that Jesus came to do these things, and we think, well, that's still the part of the plan. Yes, it's all a part of the plan of why Jesus came. But I think it's, for me anyway, it's important for us to see as many aspects as we can. I was going to say all aspects, but at least as many as we possibly can about why he came. And then in verses 16 through 18, and as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then Jesus said to them, follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men. They immediately left their nets and followed him. So Jesus came not only to make Simon and Peter fishers of men, he came to make us fishers of men. He came to call us to follow him. Jesus wants us to follow him and become one with him. We see this over and over again in what in Jesus' teachings, that he wants us, like we talked about this morning so much, why about Jesus and about following in his footprints and things like that, that we should follow him and become not fishers of fish, but fishers of men. Now, I believe in fishers of fish, by the way. Okay, I just want you to understand that, but that's not why Jesus came. And so it's important that we see these things. Then in verses 32 through 34, at evening when the sun had set, they brought to him all who were sick and those who were demon-possessed. And the whole city was gathered together at the door. Then he healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he did not allow demons to speak because they knew him. Well, Jesus came to heal the sick and cast out demons. We see this phrase, and it kind of caught me this time as I was looking through making this study, is that how many times it says he came to cast out demons. Jesus came to defeat Satan. He came to overcome Satan and win in the cause and the work of God. And of course, he did this. I mean, he healed people because he cared for people. But he wanted them to see that he was who he said he was. And his miracles and the power to cast out demons showed this and proved this to the people, even though even some people would say, oh, he cast out demons by the power of Satan. Jesus says that's not possible. Satan wouldn't cast out his own demons. No, but Jesus came to show us and to get us ready. And another thing that's kind of hidden in here for me is that he gathered, all the people gathered to him. How many people came together to learn about Jesus and to follow Jesus? We know that one time he fed 5,000 plus women and children, and another time 4,000 plus women and children. The Sermon on the Mount must have gathered many people as well as he preached that great sermon. And so we see that what Jesus was doing was bringing the people together to gather them to himself. Then verses 38 and 39 of chapter 1 of Mark, but he said to them, let us go to the next towns, that I may preach there also, because for this purpose I have come. And he was preaching in the synagogues throughout all Galilee and casting out demons. There's that casting out demons again. And Jesus said, I came to preach what? This is my purpose. For this purpose I have come forth. Now we know, why was he preaching about the kingdom of God? Because that was the plan. The church was coming. The kingdom was coming. Jesus wanted to prepare the people for that. But we have to also see that this is one of the purposes, a part of, maybe is a better way of saying it, a part of the purpose of God was to do this. And he was preaching in the synagogues throughout all Galilee. Now again, I find this to be interesting. We know he preached out in the fields when he gathered the large crowds, when people came in the city, but he preached in the synagogues throughout all Galilee. And so he used the gathering place of the people to preach the good news about himself. Then in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 17, do not think that I came to destroy the law and the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. And again, we have this idea of Jesus fulfilling the kingdom of God, fulfilling the prophecies. He came to fulfill everything about himself, to show that these prophecies were not something about some person except for himself, that he was the man, son of God, that he was the man after, kind of like David, a man after God's own heart. Jesus didn't come to destroy the law and the prophets. He fulfilled them. He completed them. That's important when we think about this fulfilling, that when Jesus fulfilled them, there was no longer a need for them. They were completed. They were fulfilled so that the new law, the new way, the new covenant could come into place. In Matthew chapter 10, verses 34 through 39, it says, do not think that I came to bring peace on the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's enemies will be those of his own household. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. And he who finds his life will lose it. And he who loses his life for my sake will find it. Jesus came. Now, this passage makes, for me anyway, when I you just read it from the surface, it just sounds like Jesus came to divide families. Well, Jesus came to present the truth about God. And the truth about God, some people will accept that, and some people will not accept it. Some people will want to do things their own way, and some people are willing and want to do things God's way. And so that's why this sword, and it wasn't a physical sword Jesus is talking about here. He's talking about that the message of God is going to divide people. And it did in the Jewish world, in the Jewish kingdom. Some people followed him and some people did not. Some people accepted him, some people rejected him. And so we have to understand, and that's why it says in verse 38, who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. You know, we're not worthy of God if we do not take up his way and follow him. And this is a real challenge for each of us to make sure that we are following in the kingdom of God. And of course, he goes in and uses the same passage we find in other places in the Gospels. He who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it. Jesus wants us to find our lives in him. This is what he wants. He wants everyone to come to him. And we know that, of course, whole families came to him. There's a young, well, to me, young woman. She's probably around 40 that I've known at, well, first of all, Poland, and then later on in Ukraine. And in 2022, she had come to Americrane in Poland. We did Americrane in Poland and then in Ukraine, in Warsaw, Poland. And she had just become a Christian. She was the only one in her family that had become a Christian. And then at camp, at that first camp, her daughter, who was 14, became a Christian. Later on, 2 years later, she decided that she needed to return home to a city in Ukraine. Even at that time, it was a war-torn part of the country. And her husband became a Christian because of them. And then her mother and her sister became a Christian because of them. And so we can see sometimes that even though the gospel might divide people, but it can bring families together, can bring people together. And Jesus wants us to be together. It's not that he doesn't want us to love our father or mother, but he wants us to love him more than them. He doesn't want, you know, so the argument is not that he does not want us to love our family. He just wants us to love him more. And that's one of the reasons that he came. John 9:39. And Jesus said, "For judgment I have come into this world, that those who do not see me may see, and that those who see me may be made blind." Now we think about Jesus coming into judgment of the world because in John chapter 3, it says that he did not come to condemn the world, but to save the world. But it says also right after that, he says, if we do not believe, we stand condemned already. So judgment takes place when? When we make a decision whether to follow him or not. So Jesus came to, again, in the same sense we just were talking about, he came to judge the world by causing us, challenging us to follow him, to make a decision for him. And it says, those that do not see may see. And of course, the context here is that the man that Jesus had healed that was born blind. And the Pharisees were questioning him about this, and that's why he makes this statement to them, because they claimed to see, but they did not see. They were really blind, is what Jesus says to them spiritually. So Jesus came to make us make a decision. We have to make a decision about Jesus. Are we going to follow him or are we not going to follow him? That's one of the reasons he came, for it to challenge us to be with God and to choose him. That's what he wants for us. But we have to make that choice. And that's what Jesus is telling us in both of these passages, that we have to make that choice to follow him. And in a sense, we judge ourselves if we accept him or don't accept him. John 10:10, one of the favorite passages in the Bible, the thief does not come to except to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life, that they may have it more abundantly. Jesus came to give us abundant life, to give us a life that is above and beyond anything that this world can offer, because he gives us freedom from sin. He gives us freedom. He gives us hope. He gives us peace. In him, we find that. And so Jesus said, this is abundant life. The life that he promises to give to us is the abundant life that we can have in him. In John chapter 12, verses 27 and 28. Now my soul is troubled. What shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. Why did Jesus come? He came for this purpose. What shall I say? Save me from this hour? No. And of course, this came quite a bit of time before Jesus actually went to the garden, when he said, not my will, but yours be done. But here he's saying, I came for the purpose to go to the cross. That was, all this other things fits into this, but it all comes back down to the cross, that he came for the purpose of dying on the cross for us. And all of it that he was doing was leading the people, preparing the people for the cross, for the death, for the resurrection, and so that he could be so we could be ready to accept him and walk with him in his kingdom. I think it's so cool here. It says, scriptures say that some of the people thought that it thundered, but it sounded like a voice. Can you imagine having a voice from heaven speak out loud to everyone? How amazing that must have been. Jesus said, I came for this purpose. God says, I will glorify your name. Just get goosebumps thinking about that, about how that must have been. So he came and God glorified him. And then we find that passage we started with this evening, Luke 19 and verse 10. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. And of course we know that he was saying that to the tax collector. But Jesus said, that's why I came, to seek and to save the lost. And as we are striving to do here, we're striving to reach out to people, is to seek and to save the lost. As Christians in all across the world, in the church, are seeking to save the lost and to bring people to Christ, wherever they might be. Because they are following, because we are, they are, our family in the family of God, are striving to seek and to save that which was lost. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 15 and 16. This is a faithful saying that is worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Of course, Paul looked at his own life, and he was telling the people what he had been and what he became. He says, for me, I was the chief of sinners, but I'm so thankful that Christ came into the world to save sinners like me. Aren't you? Aren't you so glad that Christ came into this world to save sinners like you and I? You know, so we could have that salvation, so that we could know that freedom in God, so that we could know that we don't have to be burdened by sin as we walk with Christ. He came into this world for that purpose, to save us. Therefore, Jesus came for people. He came to save us, to seek for us, to challenge us to follow him, to challenge us to walk with him. He came for us so that we would know God better through him, so we would know that he was the Savior of the world. He was the Messiah. He came to seek us. Jesus came literally for you and me. Yes, he came for all people, but we could look down, when it comes down to God and I, or Jesus and I, Jesus and you, we can know that he came for you. Just think, that's how important you are to him. Jesus came to save us from our sins and give us new life, so that when we're baptized into Christ, we're raised to walk in new life, right? New life in him. So won't you come to Jesus and receive what he came to give to you? Won't you come to him now as together we stand and sing?
Come to Jesus, he will save you, though your sins as crimson glow. If you give your heart to Jesus, he will make it white as snow.
Jesus, come to Jesus, come to Jesus, come today, come to Jesus, come to Jesus, come, come today, come to Jesus, do not tarry, enter in at mercy's gate. Oh, delay not till the morrow, lest thy coming be too late. Come to Jesus, come to Jesus, come to Jesus, come today. Come to Jesus, come to Jesus, come to Jesus, come, come today. Come to Jesus, dying sinner, other Savior there is none. He will share with you his glory when your pilgrimage is done. Come to Jesus, come to Jesus, come to Jesus, come today. Come to Jesus, come to Jesus, come to Jesus, come, come today.
Is there anyone here this evening that did not have opportunity earlier today to partake of the Lord's Supper? In a moment, I'm going to ask our brother David Hutchcraft to dismiss us with a prayer. We want to keep in mind all those that are on our prayer list. We want to keep in mind those prayer requests that were made earlier today. Of course, our sister Crane's husband Bob, and he's been under the weather. Let's see who else was mentioned this morning. Don is not feeling well. Naoma got up and left early. She was saying that she was having some issues with her legs, telling me that, and certainly want to keep her in our prayers. Remember Brooklyn's friend, who has been diagnosed with scoliosis. Want to remember her, and. Keep praying for the success of our evangelism program and our effort to make that a success. Remember all of our members who are shut in. Let's keep encouraging them. Let them know that they're important to us, that we miss them. When they can't be here, they're not absent from our minds, and they're still in our prayers on a daily basis. So let's encourage them the best we can. Anything further that we need to make known? Okay. Anything else before prayer? So we'll lead a prayer and then maybe take a seat for just a second while James finishes us off.
Almighty Heavenly Father, we come to you in prayer this evening. To give thanks for all your blessings. Heavenly Father, we ask you to look after those mentioned that are suffering with illness and those that are having been shut in and can't attend our service. We give thanks for this beautiful day that we've been able to come and sing praises and hear your word, words of encouragement, words of love. Heavenly Father, we ask that when we leave this assembly, that we walk in the light of Jesus Christ. We ask all this in your Son, Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
Stacy, do we have a meeting tonight?
Yes, we do.
Okay.